This is Will's Band of the Week for July 24th, 2022. To another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Jason from the Green Monster of Monona.
Hello, hello.
The Green Monster hasn't made an appearance in, what, I don't know, a couple months maybe?
It's been, I think it's been 2 or 3 months. I'm not for sure.
Well, you know, from time to time, releases come out and I'm like, we have to get Jason on to talk about this. And then, then of course a new Flower Town comes out and it's like essential.
So, yeah, for sure. I think there was some buzz about me possibly doing the Wilco one, but I have still not made it through the double album.
I told you the way I made it through was by having COVID and being just on my couch. I'm like, this is the time. Now I've got the time. I'm putting this on.
And that's right. Yeah.
You know, it was good. You could take about, I would say take the 4 most country tracks out of it, and then it's better. Because, you know, I don't, when they go full-fledged country, then I'm maybe not quite with them, but they can be country influenced, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I mean, I much prefer my Wilco to be experimental and a little wild, so... The tame side has, it just kind of, I still love it. And I'm sure as time goes on, I'll probably appreciate it the more I give it a chance. But
yeah,
I didn't have it in me to make it through the whole thing before you guys reviewed it.
Well, anyway, it was worthwhile. I was glad I listened to it. So there's excitement this week. This is really fun because, you had a bunch of recommendations. We got some EPs this week. We're going, non-traditional. We're not requiring a full album this week.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, off script just a little bit.
You did manage to slip in one full length, though.
Right. We did do that. Okay, so, I think it's really important that we get to this particular segment of the podcast. How often is it that both you and I have a live report?
Oh, you have one too.
I do.
Exciting.
I do. I have one. I know you have one because the last time I saw you, you were on your way to see this show.
Yeah, I was rushing off because I underestimated finding parking.
I was a little worried that, because wasn't there also a show at the Sylvie the same night?
Yeah, there was something. You were at the High Noon. Because I definitely drove by there and there was a line of people out the door. But I managed to find a spot. And so I was going to see Lo, who had postponed this show. They got COVID sometime in the spring. And when was that Flaming Lips show? So it was like April something, I think.
Maybe? Yeah, it was the same night, right? It was supposed to be the same night. Yeah, middle of April, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So they canceled the day of the show.
Wow.
Sometimes it's like, I don't know. I just had this feeling like I'm not gonna see this show. Right. And I still kind of had that feeling leading up to this week, like something else was gonna happen.
Right.
And I wasn't gonna see this show because I missed them on their previous tour when they from their last album, and I really regret not seeing that show. But I parked the car after seeing you guys downtown, and I rushed to get there, and I walked in literally as they were starting the first song of the set. So I made it just in time.
Wow.
And yeah, and it was this is my first show like back in I've been to maybe a couple of things that have been outdoors, but this was my first show back inside a venue.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of emotional, you know. It's like yeah. Wow. This
right.
is just and you know, they Alan Sparhawk's guitar just loud as could be and just kind of just surrounding you. And yeah, it was just that first song. I was just like, wow, this is amazing. This is I guess I missed this.
Did you manage to get up to a reasonable position from the stage?
I was about midway in the, so it's a small room, the High Noon Saloon here in Madison. And I was about midway in the middle of the crowd. And it said it was sold out, and it's possible that, you know, other people had COVID and didn't show up, but it didn't seem as packed as what I would have expected a sold out show to be.
Hmm. Yeah, because that venue goes kind of deep, you know. I always think it'd be better if it was a little bit wider and shallower, but it goes way back. So if you're back by those pool tables, it's not a very good vantage point, you know.
Yeah.
But, and I think the capacity there is something like 600. They can fit a lot of people in there.
Yeah, there was no way that there were 600 people there.
Huh. Hmm.
It was like I had breathing room. I felt totally comfortable and yeah.
Well, that's pretty good.
Like crossing my fingers that I wasn't going to get COVID for a second time.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was nice. I got to see some friends that I hadn't seen in years.
So, oh, cool.
That happened to come out as well. And they played their last album all the way through, track by track, which I've never been to a show where a band has done that. And so it was kind of predictable in knowing what was coming next. But they played some hits at the end of the set also. And they did a very generous thing. And, you know, they walked off at the end of their main set and they took maybe a minute. And then came back on. They didn't make us wait and clap forever. And they came back on, did a quick encore, and then got out of there. And, you know, we were all like, that was nice. That was just, we're done. That feels good. Hour and a half set. Let's go home.
It's indie rock. And I think, unless you're really huge, the indie rockers don't do that whole deal of walking off and making you cheer for 5 minutes and then they come back as much. The bigger, I guess some more popular bands still do that because they know people are willing to cheer for them, you know. Personally, I'd be worried that I would leave the stage and then nobody would clap. So nobody would even want, you know. And so I was going to ask you, how did the wacky percussion stuff come across live?
It was still pretty minimal. I think there were songs where Mimi Parker was just sort of cat's hitting the microphone, where she was just kind of banging on the floor tom a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she definitely incorporated drums into just about all the songs. But yeah, she had her minimal setup, and sometimes you kind of wish that maybe there was a little bit more going on.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was still awesome. I think more cool. It's more about like their voices and
yeah
and his guitar. The bass was like super loud. Just, like, I thought it was maybe louder than I don't know anticipated it being or something. It's just it's been forever since I've been to a show, so it's like it's just pretty wild. How about you? Did you who did you see?
We went to Milwaukee. To the Cactus Club. Have you ever been there?
No.
It's a really cool venue. I'm going to promote the Cactus Club. So we went to see Protomartyr there last, I think, November. This was to see the band Cola with the two former members of the band Ott from Montreal. And it was great. I guess I'll mention the opener. There was a band called Stuck from Chicago. And they're a cool, spiky, fast, post-punky type sounding type band. My son, who came with me, was a little more favorable on the vocals than I was. The guy has a kind of just a shouty delivery, which I was a little not that thrilled by. But musically, I like them quite a bit. So it was pretty cool. Stuck from Chicago. And then Cola, they have one album. It's like 35 minutes long. They basically played every song except one on the album and two new songs. So it was probably a 45-minute set. Just really simple, straightforward. And they've got this, I don't know if you've heard their album, but it's really, Ott had a keyboard player and a little bit more like diversity to the sound, and they decided to kind of strip it down with this band. And so it's just guitar, bass, drums. The bass player has no pedals except a tuner. Guitar player has two pedals. He's got, you know, it's just the classic. He plays a Telecaster into a Fender reverb amp, and he's got one electroharmonics pedal that's kind of makes like a slight crunch. And then then this green pedal, and I didn't know what the green pedal was. I think, what is it, DOD makes those green pedals? I don't know, or I'm trying to think of the Digitech or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder if it was a Bad Monkey. Was it a distortion?
It didn't really seem like it was. If it was, he wasn't using it that much. So,
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, and I just think the singer is Tim Darcy, and I just think he's really just a great performer. He's got just a great voice. And it was, I think I told the podcasting group, it seemed like a crowd of like 50. And I was like, this band deserves to have more people watching them. But it may have been 70, but that's maybe optimistic. But the Cactus Club is so great. It's like a garage, and it's I think the capacity is 200. So you just get into that back room. There's a bar, and then the back room is the music room. And nice. And it's just a great sound system and all good. Really good. Favorable review on that one. So there we go. Live reports. Hopefully
so
now
they didn't make you almost weep as soon as you walked in.
No. They were requiring masks though, which was interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think some bands on tour are just like, there's just too much COVID going around, and so the bar wasn't requiring masks, but the woman outside, the place looks like a house outside basically, and it's in like a neighborhood, so it's like just so classic. But the woman who was taking the tickets said, the performers have asked that you wear a mask, so we just ask that you respect that. And it just at least in the back room where the music's being played, please wear a mask. And there was pretty much. And I walked back there and started watching Stuck, and they were on like their second or third song, and then I realized I didn't have a mask on because I'm just completely not in the habit, you know. I looked at my son. I made this face like, whoops. I put the mask on. So they probably thought I was like some total jerk guy or something. But I didn't get any dirty looks.
Probably.
Yeah. But all good,
I'm sure
though.
They didn't see ya.
There you go. Live reports. And anything else? No deaths, I don't think, right?
I don't think so. I've kind of not been on Twitter much this week.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, it's been kind of nice. So I may have missed out on some news.
I can hear your cat. That's cool.
Is he? I figured. Yeah. I don't know why he's only interested in me when I want to do something that's not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, whenever I want to do something, that's when he comes around.
Right. To show that he's in command or something.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, should we start the lineup of
Let's get
excellent
going.
Music?
We got a lot to talk about.
We do. So, we're going to go back to Paisley Shirt, right? I don't think we've talked about a Paisley Shirt release since we had Kevin on and his own band, right?
Well,
I think
if we count Red Pants, then that would be a Paisley Shirt release also.
Wait, were you after?
Yeah, I was in between. Yep.
You were after Kevin. I didn't remember the order of it. Time just flies by.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't forget about Red Pants.
No. So, how could you?
No, we wouldn't. We would never forget Red Pants. Anyway, so Flower Town, they're like Paisley Shirt veterans now, right?
I know. I was jokingly going to say indie rock veterans at this point. They, I think this is maybe their fourth release. If you count all their little EPs.
Yeah, I think the first one I listened to was the last one that you and I talked about, but I know they had one or two before that.
Yeah, and we got to talk to them last year whenever they released their full-length album.
Right.
And so I knew that they had been working on stuff, but I did not expect their release this soon after that full-length. But
so we should,
I guess it's been a while.
We should refresh the listeners with all the related bands that they're in. So, right. So it's Mike and Karina, right?
Right. Yes. And, Karina has her project, called Cindy.
Yep.
And then Mike has his project, which he records under the name Tony J.
Right. And then one of them, isn't one of them in April Magazine?
I think Mike does, play drums sometimes in April Magazine. I think you're right.
And so,
and they both
bands.
Have been in a backing band for Kevin's project, Sad Eyed Beatniks.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So this is San Francisco Bay Area pop, right? Psych pop.
Yeah, the fog pop, I think, is what they been deemed. I think it's a new genre.
Okay.
That they have started up themselves.
Fog pop, not a bad name.
I know, it's pretty good. I like it.
I was playing it in the car when I was driving with my wife, and I said something like, "This is some San Francisco psych pop," or something like that. And then she said something like, "This could only be from San Francisco." like the sound to her was like, I don't know, maybe it makes her think of Haight Ashbury or something. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but they got a cool thing going, right?
I know, yeah. They're just incredibly consistent.
So this new Flower Town release, I guess we call it an album. It's 8 songs and 22 minutes. So I don't know.
Is it 8 songs?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, does that make it an album and not an EP?
I feel like it's longer than an EP. That was one thing I was going to bring up. Because to me, an EP is more of like 5, maybe 6 songs.
Yeah.
Should be, and then you get into something like a mini album or something, or an album. It doesn't seem like they're really treating it as a real full album, though.
Hmm.
But I guess we can call it whatever we want.
Right, yeah. The title of it is Half Yesterday. And, well, why don't you choose what track we should listen to first?
Okay, I gotta double check the, it's a funny title. So I'm gonna pick out a slower track. They are pretty known for their slow jams, but the track 2, The Ever Given, I really, really love this song, so I'm going to go for that one first.
Lost its meaning.
Flower Town, Fog Pop. Wait, was that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I remembered Fog, and then I wasn't sure if it was Fog Pop or Fog something else. Got to get our labels right. So, yeah, it's I actually love, I tend to like the ones with the drums a little more, and I don't even know how they do it, but they sort of, the drums are both kind of buried in the mix, but they also sound really cool. They're kind of propulsive, and you kind of feel them rather than hear them, like they're not bright or anything in the mix, you know?
No, not at all. Yeah, I think it's, maybe it's like the lack of cymbals, I don't know.
Maybe that's it, yeah.
I feel like it's just like a floor tom and a snare or something like that. And then they tend to gravitate more towards the shakers instead of cymbals.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Kind of keeps that brightness out of there. And then drenched in reverb and fogginess.
Yeah, if you're going to be fog pop, you know, you can't really have crash cymbals, I guess.
No. Yeah, I just I'm really glad these two have gotten together. They just, their voices, they do this female male exchange so right. well.
Yeah, I love that.
And I
too.
Feel like they're just getting better and better with it with each release.
All right, I'm very tempted to pick track one because it's so good, but I'll hold off on that because there's another one that's on that same level. I think the title track, Half Yesterday. Of all those minor chords.
I love that one. I think maybe any song where you list names of the day, like the days of the week.
Yeah.
That just always gets me.
Yeah, that one does it well too.
that was on my list. Yeah.
And they double her voice, like she sings it twice, right? On the chorus parts, and it sounds really cool. So all you indie rock youngsters out there, try doing that.
Take notes.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I was trying to look at my third pick. Oh, I have a. You stole one of my picks.
I threw you off now.
Yeah. Because now it's. I think they were all right there in the middle. Yeah, I'll stick with track three. I'm sorry, we're like playing right in the middle of the EP, like 2, 3, and 4. What do you think? Or should we go for something later in the release?
Well, there's one a little later I could recommend.
I'm gonna defer to you. Let's do that.
Let's bump up to number 6, Beach Walkers.
Okay, that's a good one too. Dream of the day you get to live by the beach, as if those waves still have something to teach you. All across town, we're drowned by the lines, straight on the street, straight in the sky.
Not the whole song, but it was close. Minute 51, that one comes out.
Some more reverb that had to air out there.
Right, which is one of their instruments, right? Reverb.
Right, yeah, they really had the, there was a little drum in there if you had to listen really closely, though.
I think I heard a little floor tom or something like you were saying.
Yeah.
And then, but mostly it was tambourine, it sounded like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Flower Town, Half Yesterday is the release that you can call whatever you want.
Yeah, and I think the tapes are sold out, but I think that they have vinyl on Mount Saint Mountain.
Wow. So. That's retro, man. I can't imagine, like, because I haven't had a turntable in so long, but that would be pretty cool to, like, have a turntable and put the needle down and you hear this. It just...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, mine's on its way, I think.
Your turntable?
No, my copy of the album, the record.
So you have a turntable. You do have a vinyl setup?
Yep.
Oh, cool. Did you ever do any vinyl of Red Pants?
No.
Did cassette?
Not yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to. It's just so expensive.
Right. Yeah, it's a real investment. Yeah.
And you got to order way too many copies of it. And plus, it's right now, I think it's like at least 6 months to get something pressed. Probably more.
Yeah, I've been hearing about all those delays. So
yeah.
Yeah, when you make cassettes, you just make them yourself, right? Just dub them in real time.
You can. That's one. Yeah, that's for sure a way to do it. Yeah. I've been known to do that.
That's a personal touch right there, you know?
Yeah.
I thought it was cool when I ordered a band t-shirt and the member of the band wrote out the label. I can't remember how I knew that, but it was basically she just wrote the label. I could just tell, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Talk about direct band to fan. You know, pretty cool. All right. We're going to rock the EPs. This one's an EP. So you know what's cool? I had never heard of this. I didn't even know this thing existed until told me about it. Yeah. And... We'll have to tell people what we're talking about. It's called Helpful People, and the EP is called Broken Blossom Threats. I'm pretty sure it's not on the streaming services. You have to pay for it on Bandcamp, a whopping $5, but it is absolutely worth it.
It's totally worth it. Yeah.
You know what we should do? We should play a track to see if people can get guess. Who might be in this
involved
band.
In this?
Yeah,
okay.
Right?
So they can go ahead and tweet at us real quick.
In real time, yeah. Okay, you can, since you chose this, you got to keep rocking the first pick. So.
Okay, so I'm going to go with track number 4, Empty Heads.
There you go, helpful people.
And that track sounds nothing like the project, the other project I feel like that people should have been guessing about. So leave it to me to pick the one that doesn't sound anything like them.
Well, I think that track in particular, doesn't it sound like they just cranked up the distortion a little bit? So the whole thing is more powerful sounding, and the drums are punchier and the guitars have this edge to them.
The bass has got kind of a good chug-a-lug to it.
Yeah. I have an idea. Let's hold them in suspense and play one more and then see if they get it, right? Right now, okay, the listeners are guessing at home right now. Because I think, well, that one was my second pick. But my first pick is the title track, which is also track two, which I think is totally... This, if you're going to guess it, you're going to get it with this one, I think.
Okay. Yep.
Unfair questions ask a crass commercial fair. Will you ever love again like that? Is the past not done? Broken blossom threads. Broken.
Okay, that's helpful people. So some of the listeners are guessing who one of the helpful people would be, right? Do you think? Or is it just not obvious because the vocals are so different?
I think it's pretty obvious, especially whenever I play the next pick. But yeah, we could. I'm actually representing his band, the Reds, Pinks, and Purples, with my T-shirt here tonight. So we're talking about none other than Glenn Donaldson.
Correct. And I've, some of this, I listened to it, and I'm like, okay, if you put his voice on it, then it's a Reds, Pinks, and Purples song, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But his collaborator on this is Carly Putnam, and I think her voice fits just beautifully with the whole vibe, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's so good. I just love it. I think it's my favorite thing he's put out this year so far.
Yeah, I don't know how I missed it. Like, how did you find out about it?
Well, he posted it on the internet, like on on Twitter and Instagram or something. And I took one listen to it, and I was just like, oh, it just floored me. So her voice is just a standout.
Yeah, I really think so too.
I guess she had some sort of project called the Oilies. She released like a lot of sort of singles on Bandcamp, and I found one EP that was, I think it was actually put out by the same label that does Glenn's other band, Vacant Gardens. And in the bio for that EP, it said that she had done a lot of work with another one of his bands, Horde Red, and and Art Museums. So they've collaborated before, I'm guessing, from what I'm understanding. So,
and the Bandcamp page doesn't credit anything individually. It just says songs and sounds by Carly Putnam and Glenn Donaldson. And so you wonder, because a lot of the stuff he does, all the instruments, everything are him, you know, and he just sends it to some. Well, that's what he did with Horrid Red, I know.
Yeah, and Vacant Gardens too, I think.
I think so, yeah. So well, it could be the same deal.
Yeah. I think he might do kind of a weird thing where he sends Jem like an acoustic guitar track and she sings over it and then he adds all the layers of things.
Yeah, but that could be, yeah.
I mean, it's essentially sort of the same thing. He's doing all the instruments and they're adding amazing vocals and it just works.
Yeah, this one, yeah. It's excellent. Well, we can play one more. So what's it going to be?
Well, I'm going to go back to track number one, which is very Reds, Pinks, and Purples. And so I think that track is called You Don't Have to Know Where to Go.
There was a, a second of fade out that we missed there. So you definitely need to purchase the entire track and the entire EP for a mere $5. It's kind of, they don't have a separate band camp for the band. And this is kind of confusing to me because the Bandcamp site is fwymusic.bandcamp.com. But then it says that the label is Burundi Cloud Music from San Francisco, which also lists the two Vacant Gardens albums. And Horrid Red. Let's see who else. I guess there's a band called FWY with an exclamation point. I don't know what that is. They've got a whole bunch of singles or something. So anyway, wow. Yeah, apparently I tried to do some quick research, and I guess Carly Putnam has played in some of Glenn Donaldson's other bands, at least as a live performing member. So, and he described her as an old friend. So they've known each other for a long time. So yeah, this is good. Do more of this. Right?
I wonder if all this stuff is Glenn's. I'm looking at the fwymusic.bandcamp.com. I wonder if this is all Glenn projects.
Seems like it might be, yeah.
So there's more to check out, people. Yep. Man, that guy he's a busy man.
He's like, this is going to be like a big compliment. He's like Robert Pollard, but with a higher percentage of good songs.
Yeah.
You know, Pollard, I don't know, the latest Guided by Voices, did you listen to that? Like, it's another one where everybody says, wow, I think this one's really one of the best ones in a long time. And then I listen to that, and I'm like, I don't really necessarily think so. You know, I mean, it's okay.
I like the kind of lead single that I heard, but I haven't had a chance to listen to the whole thing. I know it's really short. It's like 10 songs or something.
It's not as long as some that they've done, yeah. And so I don't know. I think when they sound too clean, I just think when they mess up the recording, they sound better. So there is my editorial on Pollard and Guided by Voices. Well, are we two for two? I think we're up to $0 already.
Yeah, if not, we're getting there.
Are we? No, this guy is not. He's not on Paisley shirt anymore, is he? R.E. Serafin. Or was he never on Paisley shirt?
He was, yeah.
I thought so.
A couple of releases in 2020. Maybe that were released on Paisley shirt,
but now he's on like the competing label, right?
Well, I think they're friends. I don't think it's competing.
I forgot the label.
Is it Mountain St. Mountain? Did he work with them also?
This is on Dandy Boy Records, and that's another Bay Area label apparently from Oakland. Looks like the band Neutrals is also on that label. And let's see if we can find anybody else we know. Nobody that I'm quickly recognizing. I don't know. See, I have this bias now. If it's a cool artist or band from Oakland or San Francisco, they should be on Paisley shirt, it seems like. Or on one of Glenn Donaldson's labels. But now we got to pay attention to Dandy Boy Records.
Yeah, so this one, like, looking at it, it's split between four labels. And I think, like, Mount St. Mountain is probably handling the vinyl. Dandy Boy, I think, is probably handling a cassette. And then there's a couple of other labels called Tear Jerk Records and Safe Suburban Home. I don't know if those are like overseas or what, because sometimes they like to do that where they split up and do.
Yeah, the label.
Handle all the shipping overseas because it costs so much to ship things.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But that's a lot of labels.
So, yeah, this is R.E. Serafin. Have we ever talked about him before? I remember, like, looking up and listening to some of his stuff, but I don't think we've ever talked about his releases.
I certainly haven't talked about him before.
Well, then we haven't, because nobody else would on the podcast, you know. You're the Paisley shirt guy, you know.
Right, that's what they say.
So, yeah, R.E. Serafin, and he's got a good group of people. This isn't just like one guy doing everything. There's a lot of collaborators on it. So, it's seven songs. I guess we're calling this an EP. We're gonna call it an EP. I think so.
That's what they say on his bio. 7-track home recorded EP.
You know what? I just realized this. The streaming service version is 5 songs only.
Oh, you know what? There's, I think the last couple of songs are covers, and so maybe they just didn't put those on the streaming service.
Oh yeah. So I didn't realize I was not listening to the whole thing. So yeah, this time there's no happy ending. That's a television personalities song, I believe.
Yeah. And it was, I did some digging, and it was actually on that Paisley shirt compilation.
Okay.
That came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was
and
good.
So
yeah,
they probably just remastered it or something. But yeah, but there's a lot of people on here. Just list extra players to help out.
Well, what should we start with?
Well, let's see, what did I have picked out? I had The Virtue of Being Wrong picked out my first track.
It's number 4. That was not quite the whole song, but it's only a minute 43, so got to milk it for it, whatever you can. And you stole my pick. Yeah, it's a really, really catchy one.
Yeah. Did we mention that the title of the EP is Swing Shift?
I'm not sure.
I don't know if we did.
But we have now.
There we go.
Yeah.
We've done our duty.
Yep. There's a fun write-up that I was just reading on the Bandcamp page, so pretty cool. It's kind of long, so I'm not going to try to repeat any of it. But talks about him kind of changing his recording method and passing tapes or recordings around. People add their stuff. You know, there's got to be a good way to do that, and I've never figured that out.
Yeah, you can. I mean, as far as digital files, it's pretty painless these days to do.
But do you have to be all using the same recording software?
Well, if you want, I mean, I think that you can do that, and then you can probably share like those files, like the actual file of the recording session, or you can do what I do, which is painfully export out each track, you know, and like send if you got 10 tracks for a song, you send all 10 tracks to somebody, or if somebody's just going to add a bass part, then you just send them a rough mix of the song, and then they add their bass part, and then they send their bass part back to you, and you drop it into your project. So,
but if you send 10 tracks to somebody, they're going to listen to it. How do they synchronize the tracks?
Well,
so the timing is all right.
They should just, if you drop them into whatever, I guess, what is it? Digital audio workstation, like a DAW. Like if you have, I forget what you use to record the podcast, but if you dropped all 10 of them in, they should just automatically line up.
Because they all start at zero, basically, on the timing.
Yes. Yep, exactly.
So then the person, whatever software they're using, they would just import them one by one, but then they'd have all 10. They'd just be there.
Yep.
And then they'd record track 11, their bass track or whatever,
yeah.
Export that, send it back to you, and then you import it.
Yep,
and it works.
Exactly.
It's kind of cool.
It's not as hard as it used to be.
Well, maybe someday I'll do something like that.
Yeah.
if I ever record anything, if I'm going to record something, does that mean I have to write something? Damn. It's been a long time. All right. You never know. You're never too old, right? Well, you could be too old. Theoretically, at some point, you will be too old, but I'm not quite yet. So, all right, Ari Serafin, and since you stole my pick, let's see. I think my next one was going to be number 5. Let's do that one, Miss Grief. Ari Serafin.
There are some fantastic guitar solos on here. I don't know who does them, but that was just about, I think, to go into one.
You don't know if he played them or if somebody sent him a file, right?
Yeah.
Here, this can be track 7. Cool.
Yeah, I was going to say catch him on tour with Tony J, but I guess that just finished up maybe last week or something. They did a small West Coast tour, and I feel like their voices really meld together. Like they'd be good to see together at a show.
Some of these San Francisco bands that we talk about, there's like they have a great community of bands, and like seems like they all know each other, and they tour together a lot. But their tours are all West Coast. Like they never.
I know they got to break out. There's so many cool shows over there. That I see all these posters for online, like Slumberland will post or whatever. And I'm like, come to the Midwest with this exact lineup.
It'd be so cool. We could do a San Francisco or call it a Bay Area fest and do it in Madison. We'll fly them all out here. How many band members would we need? Like, I don't know, 30 band members.
Or maybe we could get 5 to 10 and they can all just play in each other's bands and just swap everybody out.
Right. So I'm going to be in Portland, but I'm always not quite the right date. So I miss shows. There's a show in Portland, August 11th. So I'm going to be there like a week later. But it's Paper Cuts and the Umbrellas and the Reds, Pinks, and Purples.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I've been seeing advertised.
I mean, would that be cool or what?
Oh, you know? Yeah, I would love that.
Yep. Sorry, I won't be in Portland that night. If I were, I'd be going.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, want to play one more?
Yeah, let's play one more. Track 2, Big Break, is pretty irresistibly catchy. Let's go with that one.
There you go. That's R.E. Seraphin, the Swing Shift EP. You've heard either 3 out of 5 or 3 out of 7 tracks, depending which version you have.
Yeah. Go to Bandcamp and get those bonus tracks.
Always the better choice to go to Bandcamp, which I didn't do in this case. But worthy. So fun artist. And yeah, hope he and they keep on rocking.
Yeah.
So... we had these 3 EPs, and then I was saying to you, well, we have 3 EPs. It just seems like it's not enough for the listeners. Like, even though we've played as many tracks as we normally would, right? Like, we should have an album. So we scrambled. We kind of were quick to make a decision because I was saying, well, we have to have time to listen, right?
Right. So, yeah, that's true.
So we settled on indie rock veteran Kelly Stoltz. He is totally an indie rock veteran. Have you seen his discography?
I was going to ask, do you know how many albums this guy has put out?
It's got to be close to 20. It's over 15.
I saw a number was like 17. And I didn't realize his first release was 1999.
Right. Yep. He's 51 years old. So he's right in that wheelhouse of indie rock veteran.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just thought he was younger.
Wild. He had 3 albums in between 2006 and 2010 on Sub Pop, and then he had one on Third Man Records.
Yeah,
which means he's a personal friend of Jack White, right?
Right. The Sub Pop years, I think, are when I first discovered him.
So, I had heard the name, but didn't really know much about him. But then I think his last album we talked about, and then I discovered that he had recorded a cover of the whole album of the Crocodiles album by Echo and the Bunnymen. So
right.
He also toured as a touring member of Echo and the Bunnymen. I think he may have even had like a tribute band or something. I'm not sure how they found him, but I suppose if he's on Sub Pop, you know, people hear about you or whatever. So he kind of got to be friends with them and played with their band for a while. And that album that he did, the Crocodiles cover album, is really good. So super cool. So it's like he's got cred. So I'm like, well, I got to listen to this album. And I had a variety of reactions, actually. let's just play a track and then we'll go from there. I'm going to play the track that sounds the most like Echo and the Bunnymen, I think. And it happens to be track 2 called We Grew So Far Apart. We'll be right back.
stars, push the car, push the car around. I'm half deaf, but still looking for new sound. My fingers flicking through the records and tapes. I'm getting close to you, it's my first mistake. I see your face now, baby, I start to quake. Shake.
Kelly Stoltz. The album is called The Stylist, and this is the opposite of the Ari Serafin album in that, or EP, in that the streaming service version is 14 songs, but the Bandcamp version is 10.
Oh, really?
Isn't that kind of interesting? And after listening to the 14 songs, I kind of wish I had the 10-song version, because I think it, it could be pared down.
Yeah.
Let's just say
That's my only complaint. I think, I was listening to it today, and once I got to track 11, Steve and the Rats, I was like, I think I might be kind of done with this.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, too. It just turns weird. It's like it kind of goes off the rails or something toward the end.
Yeah. And even the last track is Jacuzzi Blues is just like pretty bananas and all the wrong ways, I think.
Right. There's one of those tracks toward the end where he does this really weird vocal effect, too. And it's like, you're like, what is he doing?
it's like, I think, like that track right there that you played is pretty evident of like something that he can sort of just do in his sleep. And it seemed like a lot of the songs he's kind of trying to push it a little bit as far as the instrumentation. I probably would pick a song that does not display that whatsoever.
But, yeah, why not? We do that all the time.
I was kind of, I was half expecting like his kind of 60s inspired folk rock that he's done in the past. And this seems like he's kind of gone more 80s and a lot of synths and stuff.
Yeah, he's messing around with keyboards a lot. On this.
And I had track 5. I think it's more of a piano based song, but it kind of was a standout to me as far as it just being a highlight of the group of songs, and it's called "It's a Cold World."
Your voice is a baby. TV did it real.
Kelly Stoltz, The Stylist is the album.
So I'm reading the Bandcamp, and it says CD with three bonus tracks, not on LP, Steve and the Rats, Plants, and Jacuzzi Blues. So it was supposed to be a 10-track album. So it's funny that they put all those tracks on the streaming service.
Right.
Because that would have, I think that would have changed my overall view of the album.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Don't really need those last four.
It's like bonus tracks, exclamation point. I don't know that you really want them.
Yeah, and there are a couple in the first 10, too, that are just a little bit bizarre. but overall, it's got a lot of catchy stuff. And yeah. So let's go up. I'm going to bump up to number 9. Let's play Wrong Number. Kelly Stoltz, who happens to be based in San Francisco.
I don't think we made a mention that everybody's from California this week.
Right. Yep. Take that, Brooklyn. Right? They could all move to... What would happen if all these bands moved to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom? Would they just become huge? They're just in mass if they all moved to Brooklyn.
David would be very busy
yeah, that's
going
true.
To all these shows.
That's true.
So many live reports.
Yep. Well, all right. Did we do justice to Kelly Stoltz?
I think so. Sorry for my apologies to Kelly Stoltz. We should have done our research a little bit more, and we would have been more excited about the 10 tracks.
Yeah.
So now I'm gonna delete those four tracks out of my library and enjoy it as a 10 track album.
It's a good idea. Here we go. I'm gonna ready here. You can hear me do it. Ready? This is gonna hit the delete button. Here we go. Hear that?
Yep. Yeah, that brings it down to a cool 41 minutes and 20 seconds.
Mine just rounded it to 41 minutes. All right. Cool. So, we're giving the listeners some real content this week. It's content full. That means we're up to this point right now.
It's the bonus song of the week. It's the bonus song of the week.
The only problem with Nicholas's jingle is, like, I'm going to run out of money. I have to pay him so many royalties. You know, we played this so many times.
Yeah.
You know, he's up in, like, the thousands of dollars by now, I think, with the number of times I've played the jingle. So,
I believe it.
But I figure, you know, quality is more important.
COVID is never going away, so he's always got that one in the back pocket
as
well.
That's true. That's true. We should have played that again. Oh, my God. All right. But you got to the low show, and you apparently didn't get COVID again.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, I made it my 5 days past being at the show and no symptoms, so carrying on.
They need that vaccine that's updated for the new variant, because the, you know, it's just like vaccines aren't doing much now.
Yeah.
It's mutated too much and the vaccines haven't caught up. So come on, people.
Yeah.
Okay. I know what band I have for my bonus song of the week, but I don't have a song yet, so you should go first.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping this, I have this bright idea to, and I've already purchased tickets for Dummy and Horse Girl next week. I was trying to get a sitter for my kids, and then I realized, well, I could just buy 3 tickets and try to take my kids to see Dummy and Horse Girl.
Yeah.
So that's my bright idea as a parent. I'm going to give them ice cream at like 8 o'clock at night and then try to take them out and see how long we last. And then probably all go screaming in a meltdown, out of the High Noon Saloon. So to commemorate that, I figured I'd pick a Dummy track. They have, a single that they put out, some sort of Sub Pop singles thing, some sort of release. So there's a new single out called Mono Retriever, and I figured this would be a good excuse to play that on the podcast.
Great idea. Here it is. Dummy, fun band, and I have tickets for that show too. So
yeah,
we'll see you there. They've added a third band though. Did you see that?
Yeah, there's a Madison, a local band, right?
Yep.
Yep.
They'll probably be at like the first band will be 8 to 8:30.
Yeah.
Dummy will be 8:45 to 9:30. Horse Girl will come on at 9:45 or 10, and they'll play 45 minutes.
Yeah, we can. I think we can make it through Dummy.
Maybe not Horse Girl.
I was playing Horse Girl for the girls, and they seemed into it. So
it'll be interesting. Yes,
and I love that Horse Girl album, and I really really want to see them. But we'll see if we make it. I don't know. Maybe they'll surprise me, and they'll just want to rock all night.
It's unpredictable, isn't it? You just don't know what's going to happen. So
yeah.
All right. Well, I think I'm getting Chris to come along, so we'll see. We'll find out.
Well, we can have Chris watch the girls, and then I'll enjoy the show.
Maybe they can go in there. There's a little backstage lounge back there. They could. It's really small, but they could probably hang out back there.
Yeah, we'll see if Horse Girl wants to hang out with them.
Yeah. All right, cool. Okay, now I've got to pick a track. Well, since I saw Cola this past week, and I think they're really good, and I hope they keep on rocking. But it's also a little sad that the band Ought is no more, and they put out some great stuff. So let's go back and revisit Ought. I wasn't really sure what track to pick. I may not have picked the perfect track, but their album Room Inside the World from 2018 is really good. And let's play track two, Disgraced in America. My bonus song of the week.
That was a good choice. I like that.
I need to go back and revisit that band some more. Really like them a lot. But we've got Cola. And again, I was saying that it's kind of minimalist, but I don't know. I kind of think if they go from their total minimalist to expand a little bit on that. One of their new tracks that they played really caught me as I thought really good. So there you go. So it's the same singer and bass player from Ott that are in Cola. And then their drummer used to be in U.S. Girls.
Oh,
so how's that for a little indie rock cred? So
yeah. It's wild.
Yep. All right. I think we've done it. And hopefully the listeners have been patient enough to keep listening. I think we've held them. Has it been captivating enough?
I hope so.
Yeah. We'll hope.
We packed a lot in.
We did. Gave myself an editing job. But no problem. Every week, we seem to do it somehow. So, all right, keep amassing more great music in your catalog so you can share it with us next time.
Will do, yeah. People need to stop putting out these double albums and
yeah,
go back to my 10-track albums, please.
Right.
I can't take it.
Yeah. All right, and thanks to the cat also. For the appearance this week.
He was somewhat well-behaved.
He kind of attacked you right at the beginning, right? And like you just jumped right on you and started purring, so.
Yeah, he needs his attention. I haven't been around today, so he's feeling it, I guess.
You know, that purr, you could use that as a backing track for a Red Pants song.
He's got to show up, I'm sure.
Yeah, it seems like it would be appropriate. So, okay, let's talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.